This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
How do you respond in the natural when there's somebody in your life and they just keep giving to you, they keep loving you, they love you in spite of yourself, they just never leave, they're there, they just keep doing that. And then one day they ask you to do one thing. Could you call me tomorrow and remind me of this? After all I've ever done for you, and all of a sudden now, that's the least you can do. That's the least you can do in recognizing all that God has done for you because of all that He has done for you. You see where God's coming from? I'm gonna blow your mind with my goodness. So that when you read in the scripture saying, don't do that, walk away from that, don't let that happen, to you it's going to be, that's the least I can do.
Hopefully you're going to choose to let heaven determine your thinking, because whatever choice you make, then that's going to be your mentality for today.
Can you say that He's a way maker? Yes. Can you say that He's a God that sits high and looks low? Yes.
Get the message of grace any way you want. Stream service live, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, with re-airs at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here.
This is our third stab at this. I think we'll get it today. We're talking about the worthy walk. And I think you're going to be so blessed to be able to see just what this is all about, considering what we thought it was about. I think it's going to make life a lot more comfortable as you walk with the Holy Spirit. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 in the King James and then the NLT. And I want to begin here. Now, let me start off with this statement here, and you might want to jot this down. Under grace, the first thing that God does, under grace, He reminds us of what He has done in grace. So when you're living a life under grace, You want to be reminded of what He's already done in grace. You've been made righteous by the grace of God. You've been saved by the grace of God. We're talking about your deliverance. You're holy because of the grace of God. The grace of God established your stance in heaven. You are that. You may not be that right now in your living, but through grace, He has declared you righteous. He has declared you holy. He has declared you sanctified. He's declared you a part of His family, sons and daughters of God. All of this is the work of grace. It was nothing you did. All of it is the work of grace that God has done for you. And then, on the basis of that, on the basis of everything you remind yourself, you know, when you act crazy one day, you remind yourself, I'm still righteous because that was a gift that God gave me. I'm not quite there yet, but let me remind myself, I'm still holy because this is what God has done through His grace. Let me remind myself that I am these things. And then what hopefully will happen is when you get up in the morning time, you remind yourself that you're up and everything about your life. This is a thing that just blows my mind, that under grace, God decided by His grace and mercy to see you faultless. That blows my mind, because I know we are not without fault here on the earth, but God decided to see you faultless because He sees us through Jesus Christ. And you have to remind yourself, because if you don't remind yourself, then condemnation and, you know, coupled with the enemy, he'll start telling you you're no good, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Then you start feeling guilty and you feel bad. Oh, if I'd have did this. And the next thing you know, you've talked yourself out of a heavenly situation into a carnal, fleshy situation because you fail to keep in remembrance and remind yourself of the work of grace and what God has done for you by grace. If you understand all that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, on the basis of that, you find the Bible begins to show you different appeals. God starts making appeals for a life that's in harmony with what he has done. So God starts coming to us and he says, all right, now, let's now harmonize your living with what he has done by grace. All right, by grace, you're righteous. Your life is still developing in that. And that's good because what he's wanting to happen is, let's now develop to this place of what grace has said. Now, what we've gotten in church is this. Let's go ahead and do right so we can earn the right to be righteous. That's not what he's saying. He says, I've already given you the right to be righteous without you earning it. Now let that motivate you to harmonize with what I have already done. Harmonizing with the works of grace. I'm not accepting credit for what God has done, and it's not by my self-effort that it got done. It's not by my sweat that it got done. But since it is finished, I like that, say it's finished.
Amen.
Since it is finished, now God help me to harmonize with who God says I am. God says I'm righteous. God says I'm holy. God says I'm perfect. God says I'm without fault. Help me to harmonize this natural life on the heavenly plane of where God sees me. Now, here's the wonderful part about it. God's already declared all this, so certain things are already set in motion. He sealed it with the Holy Spirit, so you don't have to be falling on your face, oh, Lord, am I still going to heaven? Do you still believe in Jesus? Yeah, you heaven bound. That's taken care of. Now, I know none of us really want to go to heaven and without knowing that we were in the process of harmonizing our earthly life with this grace declaration of who God sees us and how God sees us. It's not going to be enough for me. Oh, I'm in heaven. Look at the streets. No, I'm not interested in that. This is all a relationship now. I love you so much, there's certain things I don't want to do no more. I'm tired of holding out against somebody. It wastes my energy. I'm tired of hating. I'm tired of walking in unforgiveness. I'm tired of trying to, you know, figure out how not to bump into you. And every time I see you cross the street, I got to go somewhere else when I need to go right there where you at across the street. I don't want to do this no more. So what is that? What's going on? God, by the Holy Ghost, is changing your want to's. The stuff you used to want to do, you don't want to do it no more. So the Holy Spirit is working in this transition, transitioning you to this place of grace, of what grace has done. That's so amazing to me. God looked at our lives and looked at me and looked at you and said, they are really dirty, but I'm going to adopt them into my family. And through Jesus Christ, I'm no longer going to look at them without looking at them through the lens called Jesus. So I can't help but to see them as cleansed because I'm looking at them through Jesus. I can't help but to see them as holy because I'm looking at them through Jesus. And you got to quit thinking that he's looking at you without looking at you through Jesus. So something ought to be going on the inside of you where you're saying, what are the appeals that he is making? I want to live right now. I want to live right. I want to live right. You better live right or you're going to go to hell. No, hell's not my motivation. for one to live by. It was, but I didn't know none of this. Hell used to get everybody. You better get it right, don't you go into hell. Okay. That's not my motivation now. My motivation is so much deeper than fear. And my motivation is something that's being born out of a growing relationship with this amazing God who is filthy rich in mercy and grace. I want to do right because I still don't understand why you died for me when I was acting like a fool. I don't get why you went to hell for me and didn't let me go. I don't understand how you can say I'm righteous when you know good and well what I did last night was unrighteous. How do you do that? And he says, because I love you. And I'm thinking, if this God loves like this, I want in. I want in. And I want to know how to do this thing. And it becomes pleasing to him. And so in Romans chapter 12, as an illustration of what I'm trying to teach you, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He says, I'm really trying to motivate you, but I'm not doing it out of fear. I'm motivating you by the mercies of God. Remember, mercy is the bad you deserve, you don't get. Mercy is when you did something crazy, you know you deserve something bad, and you don't get it. Wow. By the mercies of God, he says, I'm making this appeal to you. I'm not doing it out of fear. I'm not doing it telling you you got to do it to earn sonship. He says, I gave that to you by grace. I'm not telling you you got to do this so you can earn righteousness. I already gave that to you by grace. He says, all the stuff that the church has taught you you had to do to get, I gave it to you by grace and mercy, so I'm not asking you to do these things to try to get what I've already given you. I'm asking you to do it in recognition of my mercy and my grace, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Could you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? He said, that's your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. You think you can... Where is that? Look at this in the NLT. Look at this in NLT. I was reading it in NLT and I thought, wow, I see that from another perspective. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Yeah, I got it. Because of all he has done for us, don't you think you can do this? Don't you think you can walk and keep this appeal when he says, lie not to one another, because of all that he has done? Right, let's look in the natural. How do you respond in the natural when there's somebody in your life and they just keep giving to you, they keep loving you, they love you in spite of yourself, they just never leave, they're there, they just keep doing that. And then one day they ask you to do one thing. Could you call me tomorrow and remind me of this? After all I've ever done for you, and all of a sudden now, that's the least you can do. That's the least you can do in recognizing all that God has done for you because of all that he has done for you. You see where God's coming from? I'm gonna blow your mind with my goodness. So that when you read in the scripture saying, don't do that, walk away from that, don't let that happen, to you it's going to be, that's the least I can do. He made me a son. He adopted me into his family. He made me royalty. I was born into something I could not have ever earned. And then he asked me to do something. Don't hold no bitterness. Yeah, Lord, that's the least I can do. Don't walk in unforgiveness. That's the least I can do. Can I have your bodies? Don't sleep around with Fred, Tyrone, Jeff Ronem. Lord, that's the least I can do. So what are you doing? You're sacrificing yourself, your emotions, your desires, all of those things, and you're saying, that's the least I can do. But what you don't understand is, When you take that step to say, yeah, Lord, because of what you've done for me, I'm ready to keep all of the appeals. What you don't understand is he is never going to leave you by yourself to finish something that he started. So even when you accept the appeals to do what he tells you to do, he's going to be right there helping you along, going to be right there changing your heart, working with you, changing situations, changing. I think what he's saying is, I just want to know that you would do it for me. That you would do it for me. That you would love your wife as I love the church. You would do that for me. That you would treat other people the way you want to be treated. I just want to know, in light of everything I've ever done, I just want to see if you would want to do it for me. And it's not about, well, I don't feel like I want to do it, or I don't think it'd take all that. But if I ask you, would you do it for me? Moses, will you do it for me? David, will you do it for me? In light of everything that I've done, will you do it for me? Wow. I'm never going back to that religion that says I have to sweat and work real hard to try to get God to do something for me. When in fact he's already done everything that needs to be done in my life. Now listen to this. So remember, he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. He talked about his work of grace first, mercy. Then he went ahead with the appeal, you know, because of all that he has done. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. He said, this is truly the way to worship him. The way to worship him is, in light of what you've done, what do you want to do through me? I'm your glove for your hand. What do you want to do for me? In light of what you've done, here I am. See, the ministry of Jesus is still operating, but through you. He wants to continue the ministry of Jesus through you. Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I was reading a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, you want to live a happy life? You want to live a good life, prosperous life? He says, watch your mouth. Quit lying and talking about people. I thought about that, and I was like, ooh, can't we find justifiable reasons to gossip? Well, I ain't trying to talk about nobody, but don't get me to lying around here, but seeing to me, you need to get your butt out of the way and quit letting it do that to you. And then when you read scriptures like that, and he's like, dude, don't speak lies. If your mouth can't speak good, just keep quiet. And then you'll be happy. Check yourself out the next time you get in a real good gossip. You carry some of that stuff with you. It affects your peace. It affects your ease. Because you done got in an atmosphere where lies might be being spoken. You don't know. Some folks just assume stuff, and then they convince themselves that it really happened. And then they tell you, and then you think it really happened. And people end up dying. I know people who have died because one lie started a gossip trail and caused so much hurt and pain to the people who were involved. I just want to show y'all how to live. This thing getting ready to wrap up anymore. Ain't nobody in no contest to see who got the biggest that, the best that. But I just want to see Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I just want to see Jesus. You know, I'm not coming out here trying to, you know, twirl and give you a good show to see if you can come back next Sunday. That's up to you and the Lord if you come back here the next Sunday. I want to teach you how to live so you won't wake up tomorrow morning with your eyes open and feel happy and at peace and like what's going on. And you know, you're just changing jobs, but you ain't worried about nothing because you know the God that got you the last one is the one that's going to do this. Because you wake up trusting in God. I want you to learn how to live. Stop playing. We got to stop playing. We play too much, man. You had a brother and sister like that. Go on, man, you're playing too much. You play too much. Now, here's the deal. God's appeals, those are the things when he says, could you do that? Would you do that? Would you do this? Would you do that? Would you make sure you don't do this? God's appeals for godly conduct are only going to be valid when they're based on his works of grace. Those appeals are only going to be valid when they're based on his works of grace. So here's what happens. By omitting God's works of grace, standards for godly living are brought down from a divine plane to a level of the human plane. You're trying to do what God told you to do, but you're bringing it down on a fleshly human plane, and not, I'm doing this because of the mercy and the grace that has been afforded to me. You forget about all the grace. You forget about what he's already done, and now you're trying not to be bitter in your own self-power. You're going to discipline yourself. I'm not going to be bitter. And as soon as you see Frank, who left you for that other woman, you saw Frank out. You're engaged with Frank, and you saw Frank at a restaurant with his ex. And all of a sudden, you go from, I'm not going to be bitter. Now you're trying to get that done through. That's what we've done most of our Christian life. You know, you better be good. You better be right. You know, I say that's that Santa Claus religion. You better watch out. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you, or Jesus is coming back. He sees you when you're sleepy. Oh, no. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And like my mama used to say, you better be asleep before Santa Claus comes, because he got a monkey, and if you awake, that monkey gonna climb up in your bed and scratch your eyes out. And I'm like, oh, I can't go to sleep. I'm trying, but I think that monkey at the bottom of my bed. And we've been motivated by fear to try to do what God's trying to get us to do, because we ignore what he's already done and what he'll continue to do with us. So by omitting God's work of grace, we reduce ourselves back to the standard. Now here's what if you could write this down, because this really helped me out. God's appeals have no force when his mercy and grace are ignored. Everything God tells you to do, be holy, be perfect. Everything he tells you to do, every appeal he makes for you to live by, are void if you ignore his mercy and grace. Someone said, why are you coming to church? Because I need to come to church, because God ain't pleased if I don't come to church. That's not why I come to church. Amen. Well, Pastor, why do you come? Well, because you're the preacher? That's not why I come to church. There are several other things I can do. I don't have to be a preacher here. I come to church because at least I can do is what he want me to do. Amen. To carry out the will of God for his life. That's look at what he's done for me. Why would I want to rebel against somebody who's done so much for me? But I don't want to. I'm gonna do something else. I'm tired. I don't know where them people at. Why? No. God has done too much. And maybe you forgot about it. But if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be where you are right now. If it wasn't for him, you would have died in that car accident. If it wasn't for him, a whole lot of stuff would have been messed up if it wasn't for him. Honey, God was carrying you when you thought you were walking all by yourself.
How can Christians walk worthy of Christ? In Creflo Dollar's four-part series, The Worthy Walk, he reveals how to keep Satan at bay and be seen as faultless.
What he wants you to do is recognize his work of grace and want to harmonize your life in line with what he has done. You walk where God is because you are in Christ and he is in you. You are continuously forever cleansed because you're in Jesus Christ and you are in the light, and in the light you can never be in darkness again.
This revelation-filled series is available for a love gift of $25 or more for CDs or $35 or more for DVDs. Accept Jesus' finished works today. Call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore.
There is a purpose for your life. Introducing Grace Life Academy, an innovative approach to learning God's Word. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings. You'll have access to comprehensive video Bible lessons that include features such as e-courses, study guides, an online community, quizzes, and more. Text GLA to 51555 or go online to mygracelifeacademy.com.
Do you have a burning desire to see lives changed by the gospel of grace? If so, prayerfully consider supporting Creflo Dollar Ministries financially. You may not be called to preach in a pulpit or perform missions work in another country, but you assist those who are called to do these things each time you give financial gifts to this ministry. God bless you, and I'll see you next time right here on Changing Your World.
To support our kingdom mission of winning souls for Jesus, you may call us or give online at CreflowDollarMinistries.org. Thank you for giving and enabling us to share this gospel of grace all over the world.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.